We are at the Mishnah, 12 lines down from the top on Mem Zayin Omid Beis. Shlosh Shabbatim Hain. Mishnah says there are three types of houses. What does that mean? Rashi explains, with regards to nullification, there are three methods of nullification on a home. One would require actual nullification on behalf of a non-Jew. Others would require the removal of certain parts of the home, and others wouldn't require anything. So what are these? Bayis shebino mitchila la'avodas kochavim, a home that was built initially with the for avodah zara, hareza usher, that home becomes usher forever until it is nullified. What does it mean? The house was never used for avodah zara necessarily. If it's not used for avodah zara, it's just built for avodah zara, then that's just hazmana, but hazmana lav milsa, he is just preparing for it. So Rashi explains that the house itself was worshipped, not that it was used as a house for avodah zara inside of it, but the house itself was built for avodah zara. So that is an actual idol that becomes usur. That's prohibited to use until a non-Jew nullifies it. If a Jew owned it, then we already made a kanas that it's going to be prohibited forever. So that's category number one. Number two, sido v'chido la'avodas kochavim v'chidesh, noto mashachidesh. If a person had a house, it was built initially for mundane purposes, and then they plastered it and added on to it, so on and so forth, for the sake of avodah zarah. Now they want to nullify it. Well, how can it be nullified? Well, either a non-Jew can come in and nullify it, or the Jew can just remove all the items that were enhanced for the avodah zarah, and then it loses its status. It automatically becomes nullified. And category number three, hichnis lasocha avodas kochavim v'hotziyah hareza mutter. If an idol was brought into a house and then it was taken out, the home doesn't have a status of a mishamish l'avodah zarah. It was just done for a temporary purpose. They brought it in for, you know, a quick, let's call it a, you know, quick minion, and then they removed it. The house isn't impacted, and it's fine. So no nullification required. So that's the Mishnah of the three categories. Now the Gemara begins. Amar Rav, hamishtach velabayis asru, says Rav. The rabbi is prohibited someone who bows down to a house. If you use the house for avodah zarah, then it's prohibited. Alma, you see from here, alma kasavar talosh ulbasof chibro kitalosh dami, that if an object was initially separated and then it was detached, and then it was attached, we view it as if it's detached. What do you mean? Well, you have here. You have, how do you build a house for avodah zarah? You take rocks which are detached and then you assemble them and you attach it. Nevertheless, and generally speaking, when you worship something which is attached, we're usually more lenient. But here, we're more machmir. We say it's usur, the house is prohibited. Therefore, talush ulubasof chibro, even though it was originally uprooted and there or detached, and then you attached it, we still view it as if it's detached, and that's why we're strict. But says the Gemara, hold on a second. V'ha'anan b'na'utanan. But why are we focusing on the bowing down aspect of the, you know, to the bias? Rather, the Mishnah says bino, that you built it, a house that was built for the sake of avodah zarah, is usur. So it's about building. It's not about bowing down. Well, which one is it? So the Gemara says as follows: bino afapi shelo hishtachavelo. If you build the home for avodah zarah, I mean as avodah zarah, even if you didn't bow down, it's usur, because you built it for that sake. You built it as avodah zarah. So even if you didn't bow down to it, it's still considered avodah zarah. Hishtachave, and if you bow down to an idol, afapi shelo bino, even if you didn't build it, it's also going to be usur and will require a bittul. In both cases, the non-Jew will have to be mevatel it, and if a Jew owned it, it's going to be usur forever. The Gemara says, if that's the case, hani shlosha arba havi, there's really four cases of homes that need nullification. Why did the Mishnah only list three? So the Gemara answers, kivan dil inyan bitul bino v'hishtachave chad kachashivle. With regards to the nullification, these two cases of building a home for avodah zarah, bowing down to an idol or bowing down to something that wasn't initially considered avodah zarah would be is all considered part of the same category, and therefore it's three and not four. Next Mishnah. Shalosh avanim hein. There are three types of stones. Again, with regards to the nullification process, even shachatzva mitzchila lebimus hareza asura, a stone which was initially carved out to serve as a pedestal for the idol, that's considered asur. The idea is that the pedestal was also served part of the avodah zarah. It was served together with the idol itself, and that's why it's asur forever. And unless the non-Jew nullifies it. Again, if it was owned by a Jew, it's asur for it can never be nullified. Sida v'chida l'shem avodas kachavim. If there was a stone that was initially not used for avodah zarah, and then they put plaster on it for the sake of avodah zarah, now you want to nullify it. How do you do that? Well, either a non-Jew nullifies it, or notomashasiyad v'chiyad umeteres. The Jew can remove whatever was enhanced by the non-Jew or by the Yisrael who was not who was mumer, not religious, take it off, and then it becomes mutter. And category number three, hemid ale avodas kachavim misilka hareis. If they put on this stone an idol for temporary purposes and then removed it, now you don't need to do anything to the stone, and doesn't assume the status of avodah zarah or even tashmish avodah zarah. So the Gemara now begins. Amar Rav Ami, says Rav Ami, fuhu Shasiyed v'chiyed v'guva shel evan. So with regards to the second case, we said, how do you nullify? What's the case of nullification for the stone for a stone which was plastered? Just removal of the plaster. Says Rav Ami, that's only if the plaster was on the stone itself, meaning not just external, but in the insides of the stone. They penetrated it. And there are holes inside the stone, and they filled up the holes as well with this plaster. Gemara says, why does it have to be? V'hadumi d'bayis tanan. But if you look at the two Mishnayos together that we just discussed, with the three houses and three types of homes and the three types of stones, well, the second case of the home is when you put plaster on the home, you're not putting plaster on the inside of the home, you're putting plaster on the walls. It's not, there's no inside cracks, right? So therefore, v'hadumi d'bayis tanan, a bayis lav begufehu, where there's nothing internal of a house, u'mitzar. And it's prohibited. So why does it Rabbi Ami have to qualify the case of the stone that you're putting it inside the cracks of the stone? So the Gemara says, not necessarily. You could actually explain the second case of the house like the second case of the stone by saying as follows: Bayis nami ika beni urvi. There are areas of a home, beni urvi, between the bricks, which again, if you fill those up with plaster, that's the same as filling up the cracks in the stones. But the Gemara says, "Milo askinan de shia v'hadar shia." Aren't we talking about a place where it was smooth and then it was smoothed again? So we're not really talking about a situation where there were cracks in it to begin with. So what exactly is Rav Ami's qualification here? So rather, the Gemara says, "Forget what we initially said. Let's explain Rav Ami's suggestion or qualification a little better." Ella ki itmar de Rav Ami l'inyan bittul itmar. Now, what Rav Ami was talking about was specifically with regards to nullification. That what? As follows. V'af al gav. What he was saying was as follows. This I have to reread Rav Ami. V'af al gav de siyed v'chiyed v'gufa shel evan. Shapir dami. What it means is as follows. The Mishnah stated that the stone which was covered in plaster, all you need to do is remove the plaster, and then the Jew can remove the plaster and it's nullified. So Rav Ami wanted to qualify or comment and say that even when you remove all the plaster from the stone, so long as you took anything that was fine, anything that was new, I'm sorry, that was enhanced by the for the Avodah Zarah, that works. Meaning, don't think it doesn't work. It certainly does work. Even if they put plaster in the cracks of the stone, so long as you remove everything, it's good. Why would you think otherwise? So says the Gemara, explaining Rav Ami. Timahu detema kiven shesiyed v'chiyed b'guva shel evin ke'evin shechatzva mitchila levaros kachavim damye v'titzer. I might have thought that if you're able to get the plaster all the way into the crevices of the stone, we would view the stone now as if it was initially made for the sake of Avodah Zarah. And therefore, you wouldn't be able to nullify it at that point. Again, the idea is that because you're putting plaster into area which never had plaster before, it was airspace. So now you're it's as if you're making it Avodah Zarah for the first time, and therefore the whole stone is made for the sake of Avodah Zarah, which cannot be nullified. Kamashvalan, to teach us otherwise, Rav Ami wanted to make this statement that even if you get it into the stone, so long as you remove everything, it can be nullified. So those are the two cases, the cases of homes and stones, the three different ways to nullify them. One, you have to actually, the non-Jew has to nullify it. One, the Jew can just remove what was there. And the third case, and it's just temporary, no action is required. Once the item is re of Avodah Zarah is removed, the stone or the home is permissible for use again.